punk show with Mike and Jamie, but it's not going to be the big punk show for long.
We're having a rebrand. We should talk about this.
We're having a rebrand, and we're rebranding to house the band. Basically, we're fucking... I don't know how this is going to happen, by the way. I need to change the name on Facebook. It's a whole process, but we'll get there. We'll get there. But at the moment, the main thing is bringing you quality entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to you every Monday-ish, sometimes on a weekday if we do two, sometimes not at all if we don't do any. It's a bit intermediate, but anyway... We don't play music on the show. Do we talk about music? Not unless it's to do with us now, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
We've not been talking about that much music. But here it is. Being as it's the arse end of the big punk show with Mike and Jamie, before we go asking people how the band is, let's talk about music that's come out. Boom. There's been a lot of punk music, Mike.
There has.
That's actually come out. Cass FX, Doom Generation, that came out.
That did come out.
That's a fucking big, 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 big hit right now at the moment. one of the fantastic bands that Creation 23 popping out at the moment. Well, fucking loads of them, left, right and centre. Just firing out punk rock bangers, left, right and squizzy. Left, yeah. Right and squizzy, Mike. Left, right and squizzy. Wimbo, what have you been noticing? What have you seen? What's come out? What have you been listening to?
The Wonkfest movie came out, didn't it, this weekend?
Yeah. The world of punk rock has been busy. Wonkfest movie's out.
Did have Wonkfest this year, so it's the best thing we could hope for. So we got it. We got it in one form, but not real form.
Yeah, we got a bit of the Wonkfest. Got a bit of the Wonkfest.
Yeah.
We've got everyone. We've got Matty with us today.
Matty, say hello.
Hello.
That's Matty saying hello. So, I've seen, obviously, Cat SFX has had tunes come out. Mike, what have you been vibing with this week that's come out?
I don't know what's come out, to be fair. Little Sims brought out a new record recently. That was very good.
Raging Nathan's
fucking third album's out, Oppositional Defiance, which is very good. There's a song at the end of it which is quite good called Stupid, not Stupid Brat, Spoilt Brat, that was that they showed us on tour when we went to them. So I thought it was good. It closed off the album. It's a great record.
Oh, yeah, I remember them showing us songs.
Yeah. Chabot else come out. But that's probably one of the biggest releases in recent times. I've just been listening to like a lot of different stuff. So like new
Swan really. Prince have had a new song come out.
Oh yeah, they have. Yeah, Swan Prince have had a new song come out. Don't know.
They've also had new songs come out. I thought I had loads of music that come out. It's all
my mind's gone a bit blank.
All I can think about, really, to be honest, is the football. But we'll come to the football slightly later on.
We'll come to the football.
I'll tell you what. We've done a fucking half-ass summary of all the music that comes out in big punk show with Mike and Jamie fashion.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Matty.
Yo,
Matty. How's the band?
Band's all right.
Yeah?
You know what? We're writing some new tunes, aren't we, at the minute?
Yeah. Okay.
Got some stuff in the oven.
Oh, a few lovely little cakes baking.
How's, what's it been like then for you over lockdown? Because obviously, the lockdown's been an interesting time for people that play in bands. For some people, it's sent them insane. For some people, they've not been able to deal with being outside of the centre of attention. And then other people have just sort of, it's not really affected them. Everyone's chatting about that at the minute, Matty. How's the lockdown affected you?
Got a job at Tesco's and realised it's fucking shit, for one. Like, don't work at Tesco. Well, you know what? It's a good company. Good meal deals. But, and comfy fleeces. I got about four of them.
Have you?
Comfy as fuck.
That's quite nice. You should bring those on tour.
And a gilet. Oh, the gilet's the best one.
You got a gilet as well?
The agility. Plus five agility points for them. But, yeah. Worked at Tesco's and stopped working at Tesco's and Call of Duty.
The gulag.
Many emotions have been sprayed all over the gulag.
Many hours spent in the gulag. Well, I'll tell you what, Matty, you're chatting about the band. The band's writing. Matt, you've been playing in a DIY punk band for 2 years now. Did you know, before you joined your band, which is coincidentally the same band me and Mike playing, sorry about that, everyone, did you know anything about punk bands or anything like that? Did you know anything about DIY music?
Not really, no. I just did gigs.
Just did the gigs, right? Well, I'd say you've probably done over 100 gigs with the salad.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
I think you've probably hit 100 gigs. You've probably done your century cap.
Possibly.
Might have done 100 caps for the salad. Not a lot of drummers have done 100 caps with the salad.
Maybe just below, but I feel like that's fastly coming.
You are the longest serving as well.
Yeah, you're the longest serving drummer.
No one saw me do a John Cena salute then, but you can hear it.
We can feel it. They can definitely feel
it. That was the motion of it.
What have you learned, Matty? What have you learned about the world? What, like, changes about your life? Not obviously because playing in a in like a DIY band, obviously you start playing in a band, but about the way you see the world, what changes when you start playing in a band and touring the world?
A lot of things I won't say here without a lighter present. But, no. Oh, big place, the world. Fucking a lot of heads in it. A lot of them.
Yeah?
You know what? Some of them are stellar folk.
Some of them are?
Some of them, they're just... No.
No, they're just no. They are just and no.
That's me.
That's what you've learned?
Is yeah. that what that's, so that's what you've learned? There's a lot of people.
A lot of people. A lot of bands. A lot of music. A lot of love. A lot of hate.
How... What was it like... What was it like going to Belgium, right, to play your first proper gig with us, and you'd not been out of the country before? You'd never been out of the country before. You're like 19. You're going
I
to
have
play.
Been out of the country before a few times.
All right. You'd barely been
wild
out of the
wild card like
Matty,
that.
You couldn't believe they had Greggs in London. You'd not been out of the country that much.
You wouldn't do an expensive Greggs in London.
A humble Greggs, no less.
Greggs is too good for London.
You know what? It's too undershadowed, in London. It's overshadowed by other shit
by like
places.
Pretz and stuff.
Up yeah. across.
And you know what? Sorry, London. Chicken shit. Yeah? Your chicken's all right some places, but it's shit. Sorry, London.
Do you reckon? Do you not like the fried chicken scene in London?
I'm a big fan of the urban fried chicken scene.
Yeah, Mike's a massive advocate for that. That's so controversial.
You pay for what you get.
There's so many people here going to want you dead for that.
I know, yeah.
Find me. Basically, go to Georgia Fried Chicken in Oldham and then tell me that your London chicken is better than that. What are your portions about? If you can fit it in a box, it's not going to fill me up. But price, also arguable.
He is right, though. In shit northern towns, you do get the portions.
Yeah, no, you do.
Heavy duty.
Like, when you go play a gig in Camden, oh, yeah, okay, you might have a delicious, nutritious Lost Boys pizza with its charcoal-based, and it's fantastic, fresh topping sourced from local butchers and local farmers' markets. However, what you don't get is, like, enough chips to make you shit for a week.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. You need the spuds, man.
So what you get in Oldham in places like that. I remember Rotherham being quite good. Do we have a good takeaway in Rotherham?
I can't remember.
I don't know. But it's when they wrap the burger individually to the chips, that's when you know you're getting a winner.
Yeah. So when you're on your way to Belgium, when you first got there.
Off chicken.
In your first sort of few days being on tour in like Europe, being in the van and that with everyone, what's running through your head like that first time being in the van with like...
You know what? Loads and nothing at the same time. Because like, you're sat looking at just motorways and stuff. You think, oh, I want to see loads of countries. Which yeah, you do. You experience a lot of things, but a lot of the things you experience is road signs. And it's like, that shouldn't be a name for a place.
I was fine. Like,
you know what I mean? Everywhere is a bit different to what you used to. Which is also true.
Everywhere is different to what you used to.
But yeah, we've probably covered some of the wild stories that happened on that tour. Anyway, the first day, we had a Belgian gentleman waving a bloody Stanley blade at us out of his car window, going about 70 on you.
Did you think that's what being in a band going on tour would be like?
Pretty much.
Did you? Well, that's all right. I'm glad we met the expectations.
White knuckle ride at the beginning. Why not?
Yeah, it was pretty full on.
Then Das Beer tokens start getting. Oh
yeah, and you don't go by half, do they, abroad?
Oh no, they're not going to charge me. £5 for a pint in Belgium, aren't they?
Did you find that after like touring and travelling and meeting so many different heads and seeing so many different people and seeing how people are different, but you know, at the end of the day, we are pretty much all the same.
Yeah.
Has that changed the way that like you think about the world at all or anything?
Ish, because I don't know. It's like, you know what? I don't even know how to like start explaining.
That's right. Just try.
But yeah, because we are all the same. But we're all a bit different. That's the good bit.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But a lot of people have seen me just pissed, in all fairness. So.
A lot of people have just seen you pissed.
Like, the only people who probably just made me pissed. But that's what being in a band's about, really.
Being pissed?
I mean, you're not wrong.
There's no right answer here.
You can meet whoever you want, just don't throw up on the shoes.
That's a great analogy. That's it.
Somebody throws up on your shoes, you got a dirty hand.
And that's how Matty's band's doing.
Yeah.
Or join us at that. See, and this is it because with this, yeah, gives us the freedom because now, boom, right onto the proper stuff. Leeds United.
Oh, marching on to bash together.
Leeds United are back in the Premier League. Anybody, obviously, who knows the salad, Seen us on tours in sort of 2018 when I met Dan, our driver. We love Dan. Dan's a sweetheart. Dan is a big Leeds fan.
Yeah, yeah, the biggest Leeds fan I know.
Dan is a big Leeds fan. And Leeds are one of them teams where, like, you know, going up round here, things could confuse you. Because you could buy a Mac 10 at your local boozer. But no, things round here, it's, you know, everyone's a United fan, a City fan, a Liverpool fan. When you're a Newcastle fan, or, you know, like Mike Adeo fan, or even a City fan until, you know, 2012-ish, like... Mm. When you meet someone who also supports a shit team, you're like, right, okay. Let's have, you know, you can have a chat then. And I'd never met a Leeds fan until I met Dan properly. Never spoke, like, to someone about Leeds. Obviously, a big fan of, like, Brian Clough and all that, and loved the damn United. So that's the only bit of Leeds I really knew. And, like, sitting with Dan in the front of a van, hearing him talk about going to Elland Road week in, week out, and all the mad shit he saw being a football fan in, like, the early 90s, late 80s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just great, and, like, it's one of them things with Leeds, like, that team, it's like Newcastle, it's a big part of the city, and it's good for the city to have that, like, Leeds as a city deserves, in the way that football plays its role in society, Leeds need to be in the Premier League, because it's an amazing city, Leeds. It's a very, oh, I don't know if it's underrated, because, like, they get a lot of gigs there and stuff, in fairness, but, like, I, for one, like, every time we've been to Leeds, like, I nearly moved there. But do you know what I mean? I nearly moved there. It's fucking, I like, massive fan of that place. And, like, Elland Road's a great ground as well. So it's a big one, that, like, really is, like, I'm really excited to have Leeds back in football.
Oh, mate, definitely. They've got such a fucking strong following. Like, and it's one of them where every time, like, they've played Rochdale quite a few times in, like, League One. And, like, they'll bring the capacity for the away end every time, like, without fail. Like, you go past Elland Road on the right day and you can fucking hear it from the motorway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Leeds have always had that, no matter like, where they go or whatever. Always had a really loyal fan base.
Loud fan base.
Very loud fan base.
Very loud fan base.
It's what you want.
It is.
It's what you want.
Well, Matty, you're sitting here as a City fan. How would you... What's your review of City season been this year?
When you come second, there's nothing else you can really say but wish we could have come first, and we should have come first. That's all.
They should have, but they really didn't, did they?
They really didn't, because you know what? We let ourselves down. We get greedy, we get cocky, and we let ourselves down.
Do you reckon that's what it is? Do you reckon
that's the spirit of Manchester City? We get cocky. And we let ourselves down.
That's like Oasis, that as well. It's going to go hand in hand.
That's exactly what, yeah. Oasis.
Oh, easy game against Arsenal in the FA Cup. We'll be able to smash United in the FA Cup finals, won't we? What happened there?
What would you have said to him after the Arsenal game if you could have been in the changing room? What would you have said to him?
A lot of things should be said, but also at the same time, better off just keeping them to yourself. You know what? The look I would have given them, let alone... would have put enough shame into him. Well, not even just a deep sigh and a pitiful look of emptiness. Every single body, everyone's eyes, everyone's.
Just let them know that they've upset you.
I don't care who.
Kevin De Bruyne looks like, making like he wants to cry.
Yeah, literally. I don't care who you are. De Bruyne, love you, but...
Kevin De Bruyne, he's like a football robot, him. When he's talking in interviews, like, no matter how well he's played, he's like... Yes, I played well. Could have been better. Do I want to improve? And it's just like
Kevin De Bruyne is like, I don't know how tall he's, like 6'3", but he looks like a baby. Looks like a new, he's got a face of a newborn baby.
I bet he's about 6 foot. Okay, Google. How tall is Kevin De Bruyne?
But he's got the face of a newborn baby.
Kevin De Bruyne is 1.81 meters tall.
Okay, Google. Can you please tell me what 1.81 meters is in feet? Because I'm not a fucking genius. Who uses meters? She doesn't understand that. 1.8 meters, what's that in feet?
It's two.
Hey Siri, what's 1.8 meters in feet?
This is incredible broadcasting.
Oh, you fucked.
Technology's betrayed us.
Why didn't you just Google it?
I can't help if Google can't save me. Do you know what I mean? I don't program it.
Oh, Google it, and your guy, Kevin Dubai.
He corrects it. It's fine.
Well, he's the bottom one there. There you go.
5'11".
He's 5'11".
Oh, I'm taller than him. Well, I'd look down on him, make him feel the fucking
it's
shame.
It's weird when you find out how fucking tall footballers are.
Oh, I'd tell them all off. Don't care how tall you are, Edison.
Do you know who's surprisingly big, right? Looks small on TV. Gary Neville's fucking hench, you know. I've seen Gary Neville in the flesh, and he's a bit...
Oh, the chippy.
Yeah. No, it was the sandwich shop. It was the sandwich shop. Gary! Booty! give us a wave, Gary, give us a wave.
Did he give you a wave?
No, he looked over at him, and if only he told us to fuck off, because he looked at us as if, oh, fuck off. I'm trying to buy a sandwich. Don't know what he was doing in Ramy, probably going to the chocolate festival.
Oh, imagine, I bet Gary Neville loves a bit of chocolate.
Fucking,
I bet Gary Neville goes home and has like a cupboard full of dark milk or something. Yeah. Or just proper trashy fucking chocolate bars. Just Freddo's.
Do you know, I'd like to think that.
39p Happy Shopper bars.
Has loads of like shoe boxes under his bed, and they're just full of like Happy Shopper sweet wrappers, empty like licorice and all sorts, and like loads of weird sweets. Like
Gary Neville's got this like beautiful house in like Cheshire or something. He's probably got one in Worsley, right? This beautiful mansion in Worsley, like, you know, at the dream gaff and that. He's got all of his medals, all of his awards, and then under his display cabinet of all of his trophies is just a drawer filled with empty sweet packets.
And like,
these are the real trophies.
His missus goes to get a pair of her shoes out of the wardrobe. Like,
fucking hell, Gary,
they replaced with sweet wrappers.
Oh, where are his shoes?
I owe sold you them for sweets.
Yeah, I owe you shoes.
They're really shit handwriting. You know, like them fish things that you can get on a board?
Yeah.
And they sing?
Yeah.
I bet he's got a Bertie Bassett one of them.
Big Billy Bassett.
Yeah.
Big Billy Bassett. That'd be your wrestling name, that might.
In like dungarees.
Yeah, Big Billy Bassett. Big Billy Bassett.
Shaved head.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like Festus.
Matty, have you ever read a John Steinbeck book?
He did it of Mice and Men, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did you do of Mice and Men?
I know of Mice and Men.
Did you? What do you like of Mice and Men? Did you like studying it?
Well, a bad one.
I get stick for this because people really like of Mice and Men, but I found it very, 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 very boring. And it was made boring by the fact that, like, it was kind of like you're doing film studies, you know, when you've got to look for the hidden meaning and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, a lot of it, like, was, I don't know, like, I felt like there was about 10 points we had. We seemed to focus on about 10 things relentlessly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Analysing of it, like, maybe Steinbeck just thought the dress is red, it'd be a nice dress. Maybe that's what he thought. Maybe it didn't mean anger and all this shit. Maybe he just thought she looked nice in a red dress.
It's a bit of a cliche thing, like, women in red dress are very pretty, very noticeable. Like, it's a very just noticeable thing.
It's like I found that in film studies loads when we'd look at, like, we'd be analysing films and like trying to look at like what the hidden point of stuff is, but then I was like, a lot of the films I like do have that in, but most of the films I watch that I'll frequently watch don't have stuff like that.
Like
in.
Aliens,
yeah,
and Predator,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's not really much to go
on. RoboCop.
Imagine the
RoboCop is a massive fucking commentary on capitalism.
Murphy.
Speaking of capitalism, do you know what I found out the other day? Brian Clough was a massive socialist.
Mad that.
I was watching this like documentary about him, and he was saying, he's like, well, you know, I've got a big house and I've got a nice car and a few bob and I do all right. And there's a few people who've got nice car and house and a few bob and they do all right. And they don't want other people to have that. Well, I do, you see. He goes, I
want everyone to be equal, you see.
He goes, I believe everyone should have a book, everyone should have a classroom and everyone should have an equal opportunity. That's why I'm a socialist. That raises my children that way.
Old school, that, innit?
Mate, and I'm like, do you know what? Fucking right on. Really, really nice. And do you know what? It's like the 70s that as well. Like, socialism is a dirty word in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, dirty word. Dirty word.
Was that being a bloody commie?
You goddamn commie. You goddamn commie.
Yeah, man. I remember I had to learn about the Red Scare in history for my, like, GCSE. Mad stuff. It's just America getting well scared of it, of like the Russians.
Do you know what? It's a mental set. It's Kyle Chakra's favourite time in history, that.
Oh, mate, same. It's mad.
That must
Cold
have been
War.
Do you know what, though? Like, because obviously they have nukes and stuff these days, and it's scary.
Everyone's got a fucking nuke nowadays.
But back then, when because Alex Wonk will tell you about in the UK, like, he remembered, like, having to do drills and stuff in school.
Mate, up until, like, the 80s that happened, it was
really
mad. Yeah, like, there's a Holy Fools and Horses episode from, like, 1981, which is about, like, the Russians and stuff, because they build, like, a fucking little air raid shelter, and like they'd try to do the 4-minute warning, and like they'd
be running
out the house.
Do you know what annoys me about Britain and its racism? Britain can't even fucking get it can't make its mind up. No. So what, we spend however many years being terrified and being very, very racist towards Russians. James Bond's always killing Russians. There's always a Russian spy or bomb from Russia with Love, Mrs. Money Pussy, and all that shit. Do you know what I mean? And now they're helping us fucking fix elections. Sort it out, lads. Sort it out. What are you doing? Come on. If you're gonna, come on. The one time you might want someone to maybe go, oh nah, not the Russians, not trust, I don't trust them. The one time you maybe want someone to have that, you know, where's, you know, when you hear your nan say, well, don't trust them, you're like, grandma, also not my grandma, because she's great, but Mike's grandma, who was a raging racist, you'd be like, oh, grandma Wimbledon, don't say that. You can't say that.
Untrue endorsing, by the way.
You can't say that. That's why is that happening? This is mental, right? This is mental that we're living in this crazy dystopian future now, where I go on Twitter and all I'm reading about is Boris Johnson and all of his Russian donors, and I'm like, can we please have some sort of investigation launched?
There needs to be an inquiry.
Can we? I don't get it. Do you know what? Boris Johnson, bumbaclap. There's no other way of really saying it.
Mate,
he's like every day.
Go outside. Don't go outside. Stay inside. The Russians I've spoken to are not the Russians inquiring into the election.
The ones are just because someone is a Russian man and giving me money doesn't mean there's anything wrong to sort of per se with that. That's just how it goes. If I came to your house and made you a lovely, delicious Sunday dinner, it might be posturizing that I would perhaps be doing something incredibly illegal there, or trying to elicit a vote, perhaps, from you. Perhaps that'd be the case, but not in my time as a journalist. I simply had to do my job, was to write
Putin
a story.
Putin could be anyone's last name. It doesn't have to be a man called Vladimir. It could be any Putin.
It could be any Putin.
It's a very common name.
You're making an assumption about Putin. Do you know what? And then I'm like,
Britain.
At least they used to have, like, Jeremy Corbyn in the PMQs fucking smacking the Tories down. Shut up, Theresa, you dirty cunt. He's putting everyone in the place. And now Keir Starmer's just there like...
I used to be a lawyer. Shut the fuck up.
Fuck off. Oh, yeah, buzzing, because everybody that votes Labour's dying for a lawyer. That's what people are dying for. Another shoot. Fucking sound.
You know who Labour should have had as a leader?
Isn't that just the plot of the Ali G film?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm going to say Johnny Cochran, but that's well better.
Johnny Cochran would have sorted it out. They'd got everyone thrown in jail. There's just not like...
He's just the leader of the world.
It's just annoying, isn't it, Labour? They just don't have the money to compete. It's like Newcastle.
They actually don't.
It's like Newcastle United. Can't compete with City. No. Can't compete with fucking Kevin De Bruyne in that when we're buying the bargain bin footballers, the Mutos and the Ciscos of the world. They're out there fucking... selling Sane, trying about getting fucking Manuel Icardi, and it's like, what? Yeah, just that's fine. That Newcastle still haven't replaced Andy Carroll for $35 million. They got Demba Ba, and he was gone soon. As soon as there's a sniff, it's like fucking Alan Saint-Maximin, man, my hero at the minute at Newcastle, and it's like, oh, is he going to go? I'm like, yeah, of course he is, because who the fuck wants to play for
Newcastle? He wants to live in Newcastle.
It's not that, because I'd live in Newcastle. Like, that's nonsense Tory propaganda, that, telling you Newcastle's not nice to live in.
I don't even know what it's like. It's much funny.
Newcastle's got very, very nice. It's much like Manchester.
Oh, no, we stayed in a nice bit of Newcastle, actually, didn't we?
Exactly,
my comment.
We stayed in a fucking
I think of Newcastle like Get Carter, and it's just like Terry Stiles is everywhere. It's well old.
It's nice Newcastle. It's a beautiful city. It's a really good city. I'd live there.
Industrial.
I nearly went to uni there. Didn't get in.
No, right.
It was too far away.
It's a mission away. It's like 2.5 hours.
It's like 3.5 hours. No, on a train, it's fucking takes ages. It's an expensive train as well.
Yeah.
Bangor was just close enough to come home still.
Yeah.
But there we go. We all know how that went. Anyway, Wimbo, we're going to fucking depart. We need to go and do some practicing. Everybody, it was nice to have a quick catch up with you today. Me and Mark will be joining you again later in the week to be discussing things like how people's bands are going, the state of the music industry, lots of things that have made us laugh, Mike's job. I've got some job interviews coming up. Everyone, please do a prayer for me. If you've got a job, please give me a job. Jesus Christ, fucking hell, seriously. My grandma's dropped me off about 100 quid worth of Linda McCartney sausages. Fair play. That's going to keep me going for quite a while. But I would like to incorporate some beans in there. So if you want to fucking sort me out, good, a graft. If you listen to this show, you know I've had many jobs. I do slag most of the places I work off quite relentlessly on here. So, you know.
To no mercy.
But don't let that stop you. In the meantime, if you've got a product that you are, you know, in the pandemic and you're like, oh, do you know what would be a great time now to start selling a product through a small-time podcast where the presenters can't call it a podcast because it makes them sound too white.
fucking hell. Oh.
Anyway, Mike, you're better at signing us off.
Yeah, kind of like condensed version of that. Just carry on. Just sound nice one.
Hang on, what's Mike's musing of the week? What have you thought? What have you seen that's provoked something?
I'm looking in my notes.
What's been provocative of thought and emotion to you? Could it be, is it doing bits on the co-op? Is it Scranny's free if you want it?
Yeah, probably. That's been the most exciting thing all week, yeah. Probably.
Did we talk about that?
Matty said, I am the tube, which really made me laugh. She went, I am the tube.
The drywall.
The drywall. Oh yeah, we fucking wrestled Matty into some drywall.
Yeah, drywall breaks amazingly. Yeah,
oh, it's fun.
Drywall boards.
It is fun.
So there you are. Mike's music for the week is Scranny's free if you want it.
And drywall boards at a discount price.
Buzzing. I'm glad I got to do your music of the week for you. Big love.